Well, good morning to all of you. May grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. I bid you a hearty welcome this morning. My name is Jay Weeb. It's been a little while since I've been here. Had a nice, beautiful drive on a lovely summer morning. God is good. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we want to rejoice in it. Today, I want to speak, or I've been led to speak, on the topic of faith when it maybe at times falters, and yet what we want to learn today is that though it may falter, that doesn't mean that it has failed. And we want to take the example of the Apostle Peter, of how he faltered. But even though he faltered, he still did not fail. So let's open up in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, this morning we come before you, and Lord, we see and we have witnessed how you have granted to us a glorious day that you have made. Lord, this morning we just praise you and honor you for the God that you are, that you love us, that you have provided salvation for us through your Son, Jesus Christ, and that we through faith can come to you and be a child of yours. This morning, as we have gathered to worship, I pray that you would have prepared our hearts, that we would receive your word as you have chosen to put it on our hearts this morning. May you also protect us within these walls. May you keep us focused on what you want us to be focused on. That you would drive out all evil thoughts from our hearts and our minds. And that we would be blessed by your presence. May your spirit rest upon each one that is here this morning. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
And your blue hymnals, number 505, Footprints of Jesus.
Jesus, where?
Page 203, Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary.
Days are filled with sorrow and care, hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Jesus is very near.
Number 144, Only Trust Him.
Yes.
Thank you for those songs for praising God. Isn't it wonderful to sing together? I think whoever is in charge of the music must have dipped into my favorites list somewhere this morning. Beautiful singing. Thank you very much. I want to start off by reading Psalm 22. And many of us, or probably all of us, are very familiar with Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is where the King David speaks of how he trusts in the Lord and how he relies to carry him through, we could say, thick and thin. But if we read his psalm just before that, in 22, is kind of a psalm of where he is bemoaning his situation, we could say. And I think if we read 22, that kind of gives us a different light as to why what he says in 23. We're not going to be going through 23 today, but I want to read Psalm 22 for an opening this morning. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roarings? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. In the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered, they trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn, they shoot out the lip and they shake the head, saying, He trusts in the Lord, that he should deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from thy womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name upon my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down in the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him, it shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. So we hear where that David is in dire straits, maybe we could say. And yet, when we read, as I said before, we turn to Psalm 23, that he praises God for the deliverance that he provides. So today, as I said, we want to look at what happens when faith makes a misstep or faith maybe falters. As Peter's faith, sometimes we say failed him, but I think it didn't really fail him. Peter's faith kind of wavered and it faltered, but it did not fail him. So I want to use for text this morning in Luke chapter 22, in verses 31 and on. So Luke chapter 22, starting at verse 31 and reading through verse 34. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have thee, to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee and thy faith, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell you, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. I'm sure we've heard this about Peter as we've gone through the time recently of Easter and also of communion, where Peter made these very bold statements, and yet he couldn't follow through on his own strength. And I believe at this point, it had become apparent that Peter was being groomed by the Lord for a place of leadership in the early church. Peter had been chosen to be involved in a number of special events. And if we read scripture, he was allowed with James and John to witness the resurrection of the daughter of Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, which we find in Luke chapter 8. He again was with James and John on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17. Peter was one of the very first ones to recognize that Jesus was the Messiah. We also know that Peter was adventurous. He was willing to step out of the boat to walk to Jesus on the water. And I also believe that this made Peter a special mark for Satan. It seems that Satan is always seeking to destroy the leadership of the church. And Peter was displaying leadership. Satan knows that by destroying one of great influence in the church, he can destroy many. Satan desired to sift Peter like wheat, as we read in our text, where Jesus told him that Satan had a desire to sift him like wheat. And a definition of sift is to go through, especially to sort out what is useful or valuable. And with all of Peter's strong points that he had, it seems he lacked some refinement. And he began to rebuke the Lord when the Lord told him, or when the Lord told him about his impending death. And Peter was speaking against it. But Jesus responded to him harshly when he said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are an offense to me. For you can't discern between what is of God and what is of man." When Jesus washed the feet of the disciples, when he came to Peter, Peter said, "You will never wash my feet." And to which Jesus responded, "If I don't wash your feet, then you have no part of me." Just to go back a little bit on the example of the sifting of the wheat and the flour, sifting flour. Today, I'm sure most of us, we buy our flour that is already milled, it is pre-sifted, it is ready to be used. Now, some of you may still do it the old-fashioned way of milling it yourself, and then it needs to be sifted. But in those days that Scripture is talking about here, they would take the raw grain from which maybe there was still chaff and straw in there, and they would grind it into flour with millstones. But the flour probably still had some impurities in it that needed to be taken out before it could be used. And it could also be that there was even some, maybe some dirt or gravel or little stones, whatever, in there, and those needed to be sifted out before it could be used for baking or for making food. And maybe that's what Jesus was kind of relating to when he said that to Peter, that Satan wants to sift you. Satan was trying to catch Peter in his rough or unfinished state, and he wanted to separate him from the Lord. But what did Jesus say? Jesus said, "I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not." It is interesting to me that Jesus did not pray for. He did not pray that Satan would not put him through that sieve. When you or I pray for someone, we probably would tend to say, "Please, Lord, don't put them through that trial or that sieve." Jesus didn't do that. Jesus didn't pray that Peter would have an easy road or no harsh testing. Jesus didn't pray that he would be kept from suffering and pain. It's interesting, Peter writes later on in his first epistle, chapter 4, verses 12 to 14, it says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, insomuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified." Peter, at that point, had learned the value of being tested. It's as though the Lord is saying to Peter, Satan knows your rough parts and desires to take advantage of you to separate you from me. Peter, and Jesus says, as if he says, "I also know your rough parts and weaknesses of your flesh. And I know that before the sun rises tomorrow morning, you will have slept when you should have been praying. Peter, you will be drawing your sword and using it at an inappropriate time. And you will have denied me 3 times. Satan is going to take you through the sieve. But I am praying for you. If we think, what must it be like to hear Jesus say, "I am praying for you"? People often may say to us, "I am praying for you," which is good, that's wonderful. But wouldn't we all love to hear Jesus say, "I have been praying for you"? And that is that beautiful and glorious truth that Jesus prays for us. In John chapter 17, verse 20, As Jesus was praying for his disciples, he said, "Neither do I pray for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." That includes us. That was not only the ones that he was praying for at that time, but he says, "For all those that shall believe on me through their word." Some of the things that Jesus prayed for you, that you might be one with him, that the Father might give to you the glory that he gave to him, Jesus, that we might be made perfect or be perfected in him, that we might be in heaven with him someday in his glory. He prayed that God's love would indwell us, and also that he might indwell us. Paul in Romans 8 verse 34 put out the question, "Who is he that condemneth?" And then he declared, "It is Christ, who that died, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." In Hebrews 7:25, the writer declares that he is able to save to the uttermost all who will come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. That is Jesus making intercession for us when we stumble. Jesus prayed for Peter that his faith would not fail him. If we note the word in our text, the word fail, a definition of fail is to be unsuccessful in achieving one's goal. So then we ask the question, did Peter's faith fail? Was he unsuccessful in achieving his goal? Jesus knew that Peter would deny him. Jesus knew that in the hour of failure, Satan likes to move in with great force and to condemn us, to take advantage of a situation when we are weak. We could say to hit us with both barrels. That's what he did to Peter. Satan is always using our failures as a wedge to drive us away from the Lord. And every time we sin, he will move in and he will condemn. And he says, or he asks, "How can you ever expect God to do anything for you when you have failed him so many times?" Satan loves to move in with discouragement and say, "You might as well just give up. You're never going to make it. Look how hard you tried. And you still sin miserably. God wants nothing to do with you. He's given up on you." Have we ever experienced that or had feelings like that? Jesus knew the great test that Peter would be facing and how he would fail that test. He failed the test. And he knew that Peter would come under heavy attack from the enemy, as Satan would come to sift him as we could sift wheat. But we should note that it was Peter's courage that failed him. Not his faith, but his courage. His courage did fail him, but I don't think his faith did. I know his faith didn't. Here was possibly one of the strongest tests that Peter faced. But It was also, he was tested in one of his greatest strengths. When I say that Peter's courage failed, Peter was courageous. But his courage let him down. I believe that courage was probably one of Peter's greatest strengths or traits. As we already mentioned earlier, he had the courage and he was ready to step out in faith onto the water and the stormy sea at the bidding of Jesus. He was ready to take on a whole band of soldiers who came to arrest Jesus, and he thought he was going to defend Jesus against an army all by himself, single-handed. Peter was naturally a very courageous man. And it is interesting that Satan so often attacks us in the place of our greatest strength or our greatest gift. And there he may succeed in defeating us. And I believe part of why it is often that way that we may fail in our greatest strength is because we have so much confidence in our own ability. When there is something that I am really good at, where I have a strong character, a strong trait, then I think, well, I've got this. I don't need any help. I'm going to take care of this. And what happens? Satan comes and he sifts. And then the truth comes out. Is where I thought I was that strong, am I really that strong? Though Peter's courage failed him, his faith did not. We often fail when we are sifted by Satan. But with the Lord praying for us, we always come up stronger as a result of the testing. And that is one of the purposes that he has in letting Satan sift us, that we might discover that even in our place of greatest strength, we need to rely on him and are thus much stronger in the end. It is also interesting to note that Peter later was brought back to the same place where his courage had failed. There in the presence of the religious council in Jerusalem, if we read in Acts chapter 4, we hear him making one of the boldest testimonies of Jesus. And it says there that they marveled because of his boldness that he testified of Jesus before that council, where he had, sometime before, had miserably failed. Then another part in our text where it says, or Jesus says to him that he will pray for Peter, and he says, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Another purpose that the Lord often has in allowing us to go through the sieve is to give us understanding and empathy for those who are going through similar experiences. Hebrews tells us that Jesus himself suffered being tempted so that he might assist those who are tempted. We read in Hebrews chapter 4, 15 to 16, Hebrews 4, 15 to 16, it says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Why? Because Jesus knows our frame, that we are but dust. He knows what it is to be put through Satan's sieve for he himself certainly went through it. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, declared this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 6. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. You know, we, just like Peter, may be defeated in a few battles along life's way, but the ultimate victory belongs to us, for Jesus is praying for us that our faith will not fail. We often talk of, well, I failed. But just because we make mistakes doesn't mean that we are a failure. Through Jesus Christ, we can have victory over those mistakes, and he will keep us, that our faith will not fail. As I said, we, just like Peter, may be defeated in a few battles as we go along through life, but the ultimate victory lies in Jesus praying for his own, praying for us that our faith will not fail. There's a little saying that goes something like this. It says, he who fights and runs away lives to fight another day. And that's my encouragement to all of us as well. If we think that we have failed, let's pick ourselves up like Peter did. And through the strength that we get through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he will pick us up and we can go on to fight another day. Let's not be discouraged when we make a mistake. We all do. But that one mistake doesn't shipwreck our faith. Just because we're not perfect doesn't mean that our faith has failed. And let's remember that we have that intercessor, Jesus Christ, interceding before God the Father for each and every one of us as we go through our life's journey on each day, day by day. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with each and every one of you. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, again we come before you this morning. And as we have seen the example of one of your great saints and how he also made mistakes, Lord, I pray that when we make mistakes, that we would not become discouraged with the thought that we are just a failure. For we know, Lord, that you don't make mistakes and you did not create failures. Pray that you would strengthen our faith in our walk with you, wherever that is that you take us. Again, Lord, we thank you for the gift of salvation that we have, that you provided. When our first parents made those mistakes and fell away, how you, Lord, provided a new way to be reconciled to you, to bring us back to you. Lord, I pray for each one that has come this morning. May you bless them as we leave here. May your Spirit walk with them and guide them. May your Spirit also encourage. And with this thought in mind, Jesus is praying for me. Lord, we pray also for those that could not be here and for those that may be suffering illness or loss. May you be with them in a most powerful, comforting way. And Lord, if someone needs comfort, that you'd also use us, as we read in 2 Corinthians, that we are to help those and come alongside those who need our comfort and our care. Again, we just pray your blessing as we leave here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this time, I would also want to give you an opportunity to go in silence before the Lord. We know that we can pray at all times, but today, if you are physically able, I would invite you to take the opportunity to go before the Lord in prayer. Lord, hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you have some announcements? No. So again, I want to thank you for coming and being a part of our worship service this morning. May God bless you for coming and participating. I want to thank you for your prayers, that you support your ministerial, and we all together can be strengthened in our walk of faith. So before we leave, I want to bless you with a benediction. Would you bow with me as we take in the benediction from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 to 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And may you walk in peace with the Lord.